Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm very pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sandy, who is one of a small handful of pioneer folks participating in a brand new part of the BridgeWalk this season, which is the BridgeWalk Market. Welcome, Sandy.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks for being here. I'm really excited about this topic for a whole bunch of reasons. But just to give folks just a tiny bit of background, you know, we've been doing the BridgeWalk now for many, many years, well over a dozen years, and there have always been a number of folks who have chosen as part of, you know, their participation to make things, you know, creative things that then sell or, you know, give to their donors or that sort of thing. And this year, when on one of our support calls, I think it was the very first support call this year, just about every single person who was talking about all these amazing things, oh, I'm doing this. But other people on the call were saying, wow, you know, that makes me realize that I could, And as we were looking at it, we realized, gosh, you know, as a Sangha, it's very likely we'd be interested in the things that each other are creating. And might there be a way that we could offer that Sangha-wide? And so the BridgeWalk Market was born, and because we only thought of it sort of during the season, once the season had already launched, we're really just doing kind of a small foray into it this year, and a number of very courageous and generous folks have stepped forward to really be our pioneers in that, and you being one of them. So thank you so much for doing that, Sandy.
You're so welcome. I happen to be on that call. Go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, no, you go, please. You happen to be on that call.
Yeah, and, you know, every year when BridgeWalk time comes around, I, you know, love getting on the calls, and I love, you know, the thrust to, you know, put the funds together to make sure that what we're doing continues and grows, and it's awfully exciting, and I love being a part of it, but I confess, until this year, I usually ended up making a donation, and I'm not saying that making a donation isn't a great idea, but I took a step.
Yeah, exactly. Let's not minimize that.
Yeah, we don't want to say a donation's not great, but I took a step a little bit further this year, though, for a couple of reasons, and one of them was being on that call where there was a lot of conversation around, gosh, you know, do we have things that we could offer in a creative way, make available to, like a market, which has turned out to be, you know, this market day. And so I got thinking about that, and you know, there were a lot of yeses and nos going on in my head, as you can well imagine. And then I happened to be part of the Forever Workshop. And we were on a call on the Forever Workshop, and I was sharing that as a retired person, I was taking a class in watercolor painting, because I had never done that before, and they offer one very near my home, and I thought it would be a wonderful way to get to meet more people and just be out there. And while I've painted acrylic for years and years and years, I've never painted watercolor, so it sounded fun. And I was sharing that on the Forever Workshop, and Sherry jumped in and said, not for nothing, and I'm sure those weren't exactly her words, but it was something like, gosh, you know, if you put together what you're thinking, you know, what you're doing with taking this class and what we're doing with the BridgeWalk Initiative, then perhaps you could think about, you know, painting cards for the market day. So an idea was born, and I followed through, and here I am chatting with you on open air.
That's what I mean, Sandy. How excited I am on both the process and the content level. Because it's just so that there's just so much in it, right? But I project a piece of that, the training to say yes, which is a huge part of the Forever Retreat, and a huge part of practice in general. It's just that place where we're able to stick with it.
Yeah. Well, and talking about the process mm-hmm. part, you know, there was a lot of things thrown in the way. You know, a lot of it was inside of my head, mm-hmm. and, you know, you couldn't possibly produce anything that anybody would want to purchase. And, oh, how embarrassing will it be if you, you know, produce these and then nobody wants to purchase them, you know, for the donation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just, like you said, you know, there is a training in this practice that we just say yes to life. And there were so many things that were falling into place, like the Forever Workshop mm-hmm. and Sherry's encouragement, that phone call where we mm-hmm. talked about what we were doing, the idea I had already mm-hmm. signed up for the class. There were so many things. Mm-hmm. And not to make in any small way the phrase we hear so many times that gratitude wants to give.
Yeah, it's so true. And that there's, I mean, I think that was one of the themes on that call that we're both talking about, that very first BridgeWalk support call, is that place where people talk about, gosh, BridgeWalk season is this unique opportunity in the year for us to combine all of these things, right? I think I remember some loving that creative process.
Yeah.
Right? And wanting to really engage in that. And the BridgeWalk as a sort of... gives her a much bigger space to really explore that.
So I went to my painting class, and there's a professional painter there, and she's the teacher, and she taught a few techniques to us on our first day, and then we had an opportunity to share what we were about. You know, I'm going to paint a picture of flowers for my daughter for Christmas, you know, those kinds of things. And so I got to share with this entire group of people all about not only the BridgeWalk, but the Africa Project. And it was just delightful being able to, you know, get the information out there about what we've been doing in Africa for the children, and so everybody was, you know, so encouraging, you know, yes, you can do this. And I decided to create a variety. You know, the holidays were coming up. This was in November when I started.
Uh-huh.
So I did a set of holiday note cards. So there are four cards, and one has holly and berries on. Another has a nighttime scene of pine trees with snow that is a little glittery. And another is an ornament, just one single ornament hanging on a tree. And the mm-hmm. other one is kind of cutesy, a little folksy kind of snowman who's looking straight up at the sky with his little carrot nose sticking up in the air. So tried to go the whole gamut of something, you know, a little ooh and ah, and then something kind of cutesy along the way. So I created the holiday cards, and then some of my fellow students said, flowers are always wonderful for note cards, and make sure to leave room on the front of the cards so people can write happy birthday, or I'm thinking of you, or get well soon, and leave them blank inside so that they'll be absolutely versatile to anybody. So I have a passion for growing flowers and gardening, so I just sat down and started painting some of my favorite flowers. And then it came to me that Sherry's quote, you know, those that we find to be so dear to us, you know, when times are tough, be kinder to yourself than you think you should be. You know, what you practice is what you have. The quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention. How you do anything is how you do everything. And so another set of cards are Sherry quote cards. So, yeah, so there you have my little offering.
And, Sandy, they are delightful, absolutely delightful. I mean, I just absolutely love going on that site. And I was just thinking that the easiest way for folks to find the site that we're talking about where these Sangha offerings are up there is to look in your inbox. Hopefully folks are on our email list. And today we sent an email that has a link to that site. We tend to, on Tuesdays, send out BridgeWalk emails. And the one that had some BridgeWalk updates, the link towards the bottom of that email that will take you to that site. And they're absolutely delightful. And I'll tell you what I'm using. I ordered some. And I'm using them to send as thank yous to the folks who are donating to my fundraising efforts, which I just love how full circle that is.
And I want you to know I popped yours in the mail today, Jen.
Oh, very good.
Yep, I'm just beyond delighted at the reception. I've been really busy. I've been running to the post office and painting and running to the post office, and I have painting class tomorrow, so I'm all set to go for even more. So this has turned out to be really heart-opening, and I'm delighted that I said yes. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sandy. It's just, as I say, I truly, you know, I just absolutely love the theme of the campaign this year. You know, that these little trees are becoming a forest, and that theme of, you know, just staying with something and letting life lead, and organically over time, the things that are wonderful, they just grow. We don't have to push. We don't have to make it happen. We don't have to be an I to, you know, express or all those sorts of things. Have such a sense that from this, you know, you being a pioneer, this idea dropping in, I just have a feeling that this is going to end up being one of our favorite aspects of BridgeWalk seasons to come. So just a really thank you, Gesho, to you for being one of the folks who was willing to just jump right in there and say, yep, I'll do it.
Well, thank you for all the encouragement and all of that which dropped in to lead me to be able to say yes along the way and get to where we are.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon, Sandy.
Thank you, Jen.
All right. Take good care. Good night.
Go happy.
Go happy. And, Michael, as we turn it over to you and Sherry, I will tell you that tomorrow at 5 o'clock Pacific time is the next of those wonderful BridgeWalk support calls. So really, really wanting, you know, one of the big themes also of the campaign this year is 100% participation. And so just encouraging folks all over the place to, you know, no matter what the voices are saying, no matter, you know, whatever, just jump in and participate. And your participation doesn't have to look like any certain thing. But just getting on those calls and just, you know, looking to see how you might want to participate this year is such a gift to all of us. So we welcome everyone to that call.
Wonderful. Great. Great. So that's tomorrow, Wednesday, 5 p.m. Pacific time for the next BridgeWalk support
5 p.m. Pacific time. Details of that, are also, there's a link to the details for that in that email today. And also, you know, you can explore all over the BridgeWalk site, which is, you know, livingcompassion.org/BW2019.
Yes. Yeah, I'm following right along with you. That email today was great with all those details.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael. Have a great show.
Okay, we will. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sandy. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Isn't this
just
the most extraordinary thing in the world, this practice?
Yes, it is.
You know, just everything that's happening with everybody, everything, all these things that are happening with people, wonderful things that are happening with people all over the place.
Yes.
And we get to participate. Yes. We get to enjoy it all. We get to hear about it.
yes,
felt like such
yes,
an
great.
Artist just listening to Sandy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah, I was picturing those watercolors, and then I saw them right there on the website. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so good. How are you, Michael?
I'm good. I'm recovering from being sick and hoping to continue that trend of recovery.
Yeah, it was a bad one, wasn't it?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun. Well, I'm glad you got it out of the way before the holidays.
Yes, I'm hoping to continue to get it out of the way. That's my plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you sound good. So that's a good big part of it.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how are you?
Great.
Great.
Just fabulous.
Fabulous.
Just fabulous.
Great.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, I had the pleasure today to assist with I don't want to say where we are in the process, but working on the New Year's retreat. And I'm very excited about it. It's going to be really fun.
Great.
Yeah,
great.
And I bet you're happy
to
hear that.
Experience it. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Okay, I have announcements here.
All right.
So Open Air is going to be canceled for the next 2 weeks. So no show on December 24 and December 31. And then the next show after tonight will be in the new year on January 7th.
All right. Wow. We're not going to know what to do with it. Oh, we're going to be on retreat. I guess we will know what to do with ourselves.
Yes. And speaking of the new year, the 2020 schedule is now posted. And we're starting the new year with a series of fun and enlightening practice opportunities to benefit Living Compassion Africa.
Mm-hmm.
These offerings start with a compassionate scheduling follow-up workshop on January 4th, followed by a Learning to Love Learning group coaching class, a workshop on turning ordinary chores into extraordinary joy, a 6-week recording and listening training class, and a workshop with Ashwini.
Good grief.
Yes.
Talk about rich, huh?
It's very rich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody having so much fun doing it all.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And check out the Africa Project Practice-a-thon on the 2020 schedule and mark your calendars.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Also in January, we start a new quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies, which offers weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness. In this program, practitioners are required to show up for themselves and their buddies to practice being present. The deadline to register is January 1st.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we'll welcome another
wonderful...
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll welcome another wonderful year of practice with our kickoff on January 19th. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
All right. Sounds
yes,
good.
Yes, and if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation of about 5 minutes in length and on one topic. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we're ready here, Sherry.
I think so. Sounds like it. Here we go.
Yeah, there we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Ramita in South Carolina.
Well, hello, Ramita.
Hey, Ramita.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. I am so glad to be talking with you. As this year-long retreat comes to an end, I am just almost speechless with everything that's in my heart and everything that's happening in my life. You know, you mentioned how wonderful things are going on in our Sangha. I'm right there with you. I'm just blown away.
Who'd have ever thought it could be this good?
Oh, my. Well, you know, the brilliance of the way this year-long retreat was set up, you know, over and over again, same process, different content, just the growth that's happening in me. For example, this last month doing practice, looking at practice, I never really appreciated just how much this person's practice had been taken over by conditioned mind. And using practice as a self-improvement strategy.
And I'm guessing following the, in quotes, guidance of those voices to know what you should do and how you should be and all of those things.
Exactly. And, oh my gosh, you know, just a classic example of taking something I love and turning it into a source of suffering. The light bulbs went off about 2 weeks ago where I realized, you know, the karmic conversation that's been going on is you need to improve yourself in order to become acceptable. And practice was the way to do that. And then it dawned on me, the mentor, you know, life just said, no, just love yourself, accept yourself. And that, number one, that's the transformation. And number two, transformation happens. You know, let life work on me. I'm here. Do it to me.
Yeah, I love it that yes is such a big part of our practice. And sometimes no is really the right answer. You need to improve. No. That is not the answer we're going for. We can know that that is not the right answer. Yeah.
So, you know, I've heard that many times, you know, just, you know, all the way to the, you know, the blanket of acceptance and you know,
being okay with me.
Yes. And, you know, I've been working on this for a long time, but man, it's just hitting a new level of heart opening, recognizing that, you know, having it deeper and deeper, this accepting myself with all of my foibles and let life decide what changes. Let life decide.
Yes, and even with that, Ramita, accepting ourselves, we don't need to assume that there are foibles.
True.
I mean, that's a tough one, because as you've noticed, we are so deeply conditioned to believe that. Of course, you're not perfect. I wouldn't assume that. We have no evidence of that.
Yeah. All these hidden little places where it's working me, and I'm not believing it.
And what you said early on is the it's realizing how much practice can be taken over by ego, and we have no idea. We have no idea that it's happening.
I realized that conditioning had me engaging in behaviors, addictive behaviors. The image that came to me was, like, my task is to strip a piece of furniture of all of its varnish. And conditioning had me laying other layers on top of it so that all the work, all the practice I did took away layers, but it never got past the point where conditioning was in charge until now.
So you can take something off. You can take something off because there's something wrong with it. And that very assumption is how ego stays in control.
Yes. So keeping me at a certain level. Yes, you're working. Yes, you're practicing. Yes, you're seeing things, but only this far, because I, conditioning, is still in charge and had me looking to it. And that's shifted dramatically. And I feel, you know, back to square one in the best sort of way, that, you know, that practice is working, and I'm not in charge of how it goes. I just keep showing up.
Yes, and the part that I heard in that that is seems so important is not assuming, right? I'm not assuming that I know what's going on. I'm not assuming that that I understand any of it. I'm just showing up. I'm just here.
Yeah.
I'm not getting anything out of this.
The word that comes to me is surrendering. You know, just letting it all go. I'm not in charge. That's a relief.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't need to be. I don't want to be.
Yeah. So I just am so deeply grateful for Sangha, for practice, for these retreats. And it's going to be a great holiday. Everything just,
yeah.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see what happens in 2020, huh?
Really? Yes. What now?
What now?
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Ramita.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. Sherry, what I appreciated about that conversation was the reminder to keep showing up for practice. And for me, that's a message I cannot hear too often, importance of participation and showing up and letting the practice do the work on me.
Yes. Yeah, because if we do anything else, there is that big danger that Ramita was pointing out so beautifully of listening to an assessment of us that is actually not there to benefit us.
Yeah, yes, yes.
So my job is just to show up. I'm not learning anything. I don't know anything. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not improving. I'm not anything. I'm just here to right, have a front row seat at this and enjoy it and appreciate it.
Yes, 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 exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Great, and we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
It's Celia in Seattle calling.
Well, hello,
Celia.
Hi. And what a propitious spot for me to be talking, because the previous caller was speaking exactly to what I was wanting to talk about.
This Sangha is good like that.
I got some guidance from you, Sherry, on the guidance calls just about this very subject, and decided I would just show up tonight and just say, that my practice, my 15-year-long practice of sitting, I had no idea that's what was happening. I knew something was happening, but I couldn't get a handle on what am I doing? I just kept doing it, but it didn't make a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know why.
Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. That is so perfect, isn't it? Because it doesn't make any sense, does it? We're actually not doing it to make sense. Because make sense is a product of conditioned mind, and what we're doing actually doesn't have anything to do with conditioned mind. They happen very close together, next door, but they don't actually overlap.
Hmm.
Right? So there you are sitting, And let's just say you're getting clearer, okay? Or you're getting, you're slowing down, say, or mm-hmm. there's more space around things, or those
yeah.
kinds of images, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes conditioned mind. Well, what does that mean? And how does that work? And how do you know? And what about that? And what about that? And so it's kind of like using mathematics to learn a language.
Mm-hmm.
You're studying French. You're learning French, but what you're looking to help you learn French is mathematics.
Yeah, that's a beautiful analogy. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
But the thing is that with the sitting, the sitting process was painful for me. It was a place of suffering, but I often found that I was clearer off the cushion. So it
yes.
was. So what was going on? It didn't make any sense.
Well, no, it doesn't make any sense until you see it, right?
Mm.
So what was suffering, of course, was ego, right? Ego really didn't want that to be happening. So ego was suffering. But what was choosing to sit is your authentic nature. And so every time you sat, you said yes to that.
Yeah.
You follow that guidance, and so that gets clearer, that gets stronger. So once you get up, and ego is no longer haranguing you about that, you realize, oh, you're more present, or you're calmer, or you're more whatever it is that you can mm-hmm. feel that you're different than you were, and then you
yeah.
sit down again, and it's just miserable. Right?
Yeah.
Your ego hates it and is trying to get you to stop doing it, right? And yet,
okay.
you're,
yeah.
because you're being drawn home, because the authentic nature is drawing you home, you get that call to sit, and you sit, and ego kicks up a fuss and hates it, doesn't want to do it, tries to make you miserable, tries to get you to quit, but you do it anyway, and then you get up. And you feel the effects of that.
That's a perfect picture of it.
Yep. Yep. That's
but
exactly
I don't want to. I don't want to suffer on the cushion anymore.
Well, then the answer to that, and I would say, Celia, that's you can count that as one of your big successes. Okay, because what you've realized is so. So what ego wants us to do is make us believe that something besides it is making us miserable.
Mm.
So it's my job, or it's my partner, or it's my kids, or it's my health, or it's my whatever it is. That's the problem. That's why I'm unhappy. It could be sitting on a cushion. Okay? That's what the problem is. That's what's making me unhappy. But what we realize, especially through sitting, is actually what's making me unhappy is that voice in my head that is so unhappy. So now then that I've identified what the actual issue is, what to do? Well, now I'm not going to work on not sitting or changing my relationship or getting a different job or moving or anything else. I realize my problem is that there's a voice in my head talking to me about stuff, and I get unhappy with what it's talking to me about. I don't need to do that. So if you had a next door neighbor who came over and talked to you about the other neighbors, just bad mouthed them and carried on, and it's really upsetting to you. It's just super upsetting to you that this is going on. And then So, you know, you go through the, I don't want to talk to that neighbor anymore because it's awful. I hate it. It's horrible. Okay? And then you get to the point of saying, you know, I don't have to get involved with what that neighbor is talking about. And I don't even have to stop talking to the neighbor. I just don't have to take any of it on. I don't have to believe it. I don't have to get involved in it. Because what's making me unhappy about the neighbor is not the neighbor. It's all the stuff that goes on in my head about the neighbor.
Boy, that's huge.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta chew on that one for the next few hundred years or so.
No, you don't, Celia, because I project that you got it perfectly. You saw it perfectly. You know it. You know exactly what I said, and you know exactly how that plays out in your life. Because you've been
watching it for a long time. Yeah. Because
mm-hmm.
yep. I've watched it take me off the cushion for long periods.
Yep.
And
yep.
then coming back, and then, oh, no, a couple years later, oh, well. And then.
Yeah. No, I can't stand it. It's too awful. It's too horrible. I don't want
to.
And as you can imagine, huge numbers of people quit meditating, and they never start again. They never come back to it. And what they fail to realize is they didn't get any happier not meditating. They're just unhappy about something else now. And so, you know, a la our big obsession with the year-long retreat, people can't see the difference between content and process. Okay? We are people who can see the difference between content and process. So once I catch on, that it is the same conversation in my head about my partner, about my kids, about the dog, about the house, about the job, about money, about, okay? Once I get that the process is the same, now I'm going to start focusing on dealing with that process. Now ego is in big trouble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's great, because I'm heading off this weekend for another one of those sitting weekends. And
Okay, then. Let's get specific. Okay, let's get specific about it. All right. So there you are. You're gonna go for this. So you're going to be sitting a lot on a cushion, okay? And what this is your best opportunity to sit with her, to be with her. So if you picture three people, okay? Three people are involved in this, okay? There's this woman who is drawn to spiritual practice, right? Her heart is drawn to the spirit, okay? And she goes and she sits on that cushion. And then here's ego, who says, I hate this. There is nothing going on. I'm not getting any juice here. The only hope I have is to make it as miserable as possible for her. That's the only juice that ego is going to get over this weekend, okay? And so that's how it's been in the past, I project, okay? She goes and sits. Ego makes her thoroughly miserable, right? Now you've got somebody else who's going to join the party, and that is the awareness of what's going on. And from we call that the mentor, right? And from that mentor's perspective, I'm just going to make all this up, but it's going to be something like this, okay? The mentor can see who that sincere practitioner is, who that person is, who is drawn to awareness practice and wants to wake up and wants to end suffering and wants to sit on that cushion, and she's just sincere and good-hearted, and okay? And so what you want to do is form an exclusive relationship as the person who's sitting on the cushion with the mentor. And let the mentor support and encourage and appreciate that person who's sitting there on the cushion such that there's absolutely no room for ego's belly aching. Let it be a love affair between unconditional love and acceptance in the part of the person sitting on the cushion and unconditional love and acceptance in the form of the mentor. Let this weekend be a love affair.
Okay, I have my marching orders.
You certainly do. And you can let me know how that goes, okay?
I will.
Now, it's not like ego isn't going to just go into overdrive to make sure that doesn't happen. But you too, you and the mentor, can watch that, can observe that. And you can actually start laughing up your sleeve about that. Because actually, ego doesn't have a chance against the two of you.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
All right.
Thank you, Michael.
Go happy. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Celia. And Sherry, I got that sense of the unconditional love and support that's available to us, particularly in that example there with sitting and how critical that is when ego's there. Yeah, Marietta.
Yeah. 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 And to realize that we do not have to be subjected to that. We actually have to invite ego in the sense of giving it attention. If we don't give it attention, it doesn't have a chance. If we just keep focused on, I choose unconditional love. I choose this human being. I want to be with this human being. I want to be here. I love this. I love this. I love her. I love him. It's for you. There's no, ego doesn't have a chance. And that's exactly where we want ego to be, without a chance.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, we are going to break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael and Sherry, this is Chrissy from North Carolina calling from California.
Whoa, hey, hello, welcome to California.
Yeah. So, wow, it's good to be on. It's been a while, and I just needed to connect with Sangha.
Good.
My family and I are on a 10-month-long RV trip, and
oh my gosh!
So here we are across the country, and just noticing how. I'm just noticing how conditioning is coming at me. It seems very compacted and dense now. Like looking at my conditioning, it's like it's coming at me from all angles, I guess is a better way to put it.
Now, Chrissy, you mean on this trip, generally speaking, not just because you're calling us, but generally speaking.
I think it has a lot to do with being on this trip and being in such close proximity to my family. You know, it's different, you know, I'm homeschooling the kids, and I'm with my husband all the time now. And it just, I'm seeing.
It's almost too much love.
Exactly. Yes. And I can really appreciate what's already been talked about, because I can see how it is the process and not the content that I should be looking at here, you know, because the only way I can describe it is it's like depression, you know, taps me on the shoulder and wakes me up every single morning, you know. Here it goes again, you know, the voices are saying, here it goes again, you know, you're in tight quarters and you're going to have to deal with this issue and deal with this issue. And I hope this makes sense. It just kind of is all coming at me.
Yeah.
At once.
You open your eyes and there it is.
Exactly. There's no really getting away from it. It has to be addressed, or it has to be, you know, there's no way I can run from it.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, sweetie, you go to work now, and kids, now you go off to school, and mommy will recover here for a while. There's just none of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And so those annoying spiritual types that write books like The Wisdom of No Escape and things like that, when it doesn't feel like wisdom, it feels like torture.
Yeah. And but, you know, it's funny. I'm seeing it all, and I'm seeing it as a tremendous practice opportunity. And yet, it still can seem very heavy at times. But I have, and it's formal, you know, formal practice has not really gone out the window, but it's slowed down because conditioning is constantly telling me I don't have time, you know, and I don't want to sit in front of everyone, and I don't want to go outside because it's too cold or it's too rainy, or, and so I'm finding I'm doing, I've heard Ram Dass mention karma yoga, and it seems like that. It seems like I'm doing a lot of karma yoga, like I'm kind of, turning to the present each moment I can while the world is going on around me, while things are happening.
Yes, exactly so. And, of course, you know, the thing that I would encourage is drop all of the standards, because that's what ego wants to do, right? First of all, it wants to present these grisly circumstances. Right, it wants to talk about how overwhelming it is, and how it's this and it's that, and you're not going to be able, and how are you going to, and you don't want this, and you don't want that. You don't want to sit in front of them, but you can't go outside because it's just negative, 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 until you have no direction to go in, right? And then, of course, it would like to beat you up for being an unsuccessful human being, right? After it has created a world for you that is absolutely intolerable. So it's just very good, I think, to realize that that's what's going on. And because then when you realize that that's what's going on, so the voice says, well, you can't go outside because it's too cold. And the only intelligent response to that is that so? Because, in the year-long retreat, we get to that place of two bad choices. You know, okay, well, you either need to stay here where it's intolerable or go outside, which you can't do because it's too cold. So if being here, you know, if that's intolerable, I don't care how cold it is. I'm going outside.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, and a lot of it is just breaking through that, just ignoring that voice, or just, just going ahead and doing it, even if, you know, it doesn't meet conditioning's expectations, of course, you know, but just just practicing. What's
that's
that?
Right. Oh, of course it won't meet condition. We can know that.
Right.
So that's one thing you can toss out the window, right? Ego is never going to be happy. Well, it's happy if you're miserable. But aside from that, it's never going to be happy with anything you do or choose. But when this is over, because it's a 10-month trip, at some point it's going to be over, then what it'll want you to do is regret all that you missed because you were so unhappy with what was going on. So not falling for that is going – yeah, not falling for that is going to be huge.
Yeah, it's already working on me with that. I mean, yes, it's telling me – I'm getting, you know, information from all different angles that – I should be doing this different, and I need to be doing this, and I need to, document this and make sure I put, you know, this story on Facebook, and it's like all the, and it makes me just not want to do anything, you know, because it's
overwhelming.
Just want to enjoy the experience. Yeah, the human so much wants to wake up and not, and just end her own suffering and be there for the others who are suffering. And it's like conditioning. It's harsh. I'll receive an insight or insights, and then conditioning beats me up for forgetting or not, you know, for not recording it or not writing it down or,
Okay. So what you get to see in this, it is brutal. And what you get to see in this is the only hope for you and for the rest of us, by the way, but the only hope for you is to drop all the standards. Just say, nope, we're not doing that. No, we're not having that conversation. I am on this trip. I am with my family. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I mean, we may do this again, but the kids will be older and we'll be different and everything will be different. And so, no, I'm not going to hear it. And this is where recording and listening will save you, because you get that recorder going and you make the recordings about what is true and what you want to focus on, and that's what you pop in first thing in the morning. When you wake up, before the voices have a chance to start, you look at, this is the day, this is our day together, this is my chance to be here in this moment with these people that I love. No standards, nothing else, just here, just enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you cling to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And when it starts in, you just say, nope. Not doing that. Pop in those earbuds and talk to your family about it, right? Because, you know, they've got stuff going on, too. How old are those kids now?
Luke is 14 and Kate is 10.
Oh, yeah. So they got a lot of stuff going on.
Teenage stuff going on, too.
My God. Yeah. Yeah. So mom might as well process it, right? Might as well just get it out there in the open. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a family retreat.
Right. You know, I think it's probably becoming one, you know, because it's amazing. There are no secrets when you're this close in proximity.
Yeah. It's called intimacy. Yeah. There's nothing left to do but love one another.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you take care of yourself, okay? Once again, no voices. We're not doing that. No. No better ideas. No advice. No. We're not doing that. I choose unconditional love. All right.
Your assignment.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chrissy. No standards, Sherry. That's the way out.
Oh, my God. That's the way out. Yeah.
Yes.
That's so awful, isn't it? Just takes everything and just ruins it if it can. So awful.
Yes. And recording and listening to The Rescue.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Great.
Our only hope. Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Unmuting.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, there we are.
Hey, there you are. Who's this?
This is Beth in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Beth.
Good evening.
Good evening. What's going on?
Well, I got 12 things, so I'm going to narrow it down to one.
Okay.
Somebody said to me, whenever anybody says to me, you need to forgive, I know that I'm caught in a story.
You need to what?
People are often telling me, you need to forgive. And I know that when they're saying that, I don't really need to forgive. I need to get out of the story. It's an indication that I'm caught in a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then somebody, and I was kind of having a discussion with somebody this week about why I don't forgive. And we were talking about the term let it go. And then we kind of arrived at letting it go is kind of like forgiveness. It's just a way of interacting with the story. But let it be. And it's kind of resolved down to don't touch it.
Drop it.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that... it has gotten too comfortable of a groove, and I don't hear it anymore.
The stuff.
I mean, it's the same thing. Drop it and put it down, but just don't touch it. Kind of like in meditation when there's a scratch.
And,
you know, everything in you says, I've got to scratch it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing that it's true that the itch does go away by itself if you don't scratch it.
Doesn't it? If you don't encourage it, if you don't feed it.
If you don't, and it may, there are death throes. Like, the itch doesn't go quietly into the night. It may get, like, really intense, and then right after the intensity, it's not there.
Yeah, and, of course, we could wonder, is it really more intense? Is that really true that it's more intense, or is it just that we are paying close attention to it? And because we're paying close attention to it, then, you know, it seems like. But we don't have to know. It can be kind of interesting, but we certainly don't need to worry about it or try to find out.
Yeah, well, what triggers me doesn't trigger you. And it's kind of like I've got, you know, a couple of things that it just won't go away. It just won't go away. So I've been, and it's... And I've seen like 7 or 8 levels of it, but it still gets me. And that's, you know, and it's kind of like what I'm turning to now is self-care. I've been working on it for 2 years. And, you know, I saw the first layer and it got better, and then I see the second layer and the third layer. Is this making any sense?
Yes. Well, I think so. Uh-huh.
It's kind of talking about the process as opposed to the content of having a scratch. It's so much easier when it's a physical scratch, when it's kind of this story or this karma or okay, so it's like I'm continually running into my mother. I haven't seen her in 15 years.
I was going to say, not literally, but uh-huh.
Yeah, and those are the big ones and the hardest ones for me to kind of work through because there's so many layers. And for me, running into my mother is not a pleasant thing. I don't get a sense of, like, being able to crawl up into somebody's lap. It's like this really deep annoyance that kind of comes up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Beth, for me, that's great that you put those two together, because for me it's exactly the same thing. And there are two ways. So you have an itch. Okay? Your nose itches. You're sitting there in meditation, and you're not by yourself. If you were by yourself, you know, you could sneak up there and scratch it, and nobody would really know the difference. But, you know, you're sitting with other people, and so you're not going to do that, right?
Right,
and so you can do a couple of things with that. You can either focus all of your attention on it so that there's nothing left over, and the it will transform, right? The itch will actually transform and go away. The other thing that you can do is turn your attention away from it and redirect your attention. And what you watch is how conditioning is able to pull attention, which is an incredibly important and helpful thing to see. So there's the itch on the end of my nose. I turn my attention to my navel. I turn my attention to the soles of my feet, right? And then there it is back again. Well, what about the itch?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the sore tooth. Well, what about that? You know, and the tongue just has to go there and see if it still hurts, right? And so we get to see how that process works, how we just get pulled in. But if we stay with it, if every time that arises for us, we basically say no, and we return our attention to the navel or the feet or whatever it is that we're attending to, before long, that process will end. Attention won't go back to the itch on the end of the nose. It won't.
It's too deep. Like, I'm just not getting to the bottom of this.
That's exactly right. And that's a story. And you don't need to get to the bottom of it. I don't need to do a whole understanding of what makes the end of my nose itch in order not to give attention to it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And so the thing with your mother, you know, it's karma.
Karma.
And that's really all that there is to it. So once you realize that it's like in the 70s, for anybody who's that old, the whole human potential movement went to, you know, you have to get the anger out. You have to pound on mattresses and beat up pillows and scream and yell. And what people actually found out over time is it just reinforces it. The more you do it, the more you want to do it. You're training yourself to do it. And so what we get to in this practice is just drop it. It doesn't matter. Your mother was who your mother was. What happened, happened. Good. Okay, there we go. Moving on. Don't think about it. Just don't go there. And like the itch on the nose, eventually attention will stop going there because it's not being fed.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Let me know. And I, you know, Beth, I'm not saying this this quickly to indicate that it's easy. But once when you do it with this particular content, you'll realize you know how to do this with any content. And that is a skill worth having.
Yeah, it's amazing how it's the same stuff. It's the same stuff I was working on 20 years ago.
Yep. 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 And there is no working. If you're somebody who believes that stuff can be worked through, well, that's, I hate to sound negative about it, but that's a lucrative field to go into. Because, as you say, I mean, there are people who work on a deal with their mother or their father or whatever it is for 40 or 50 years. Or you could just drop it. It's harder.
It's going to come up. I don't have to touch it.
That's right. It's the old rip the Band-Aid off. You know, you can make it last forever and suffer endlessly, or you could just pull it. All right. Let me know.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Take good care.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And Sherry, we have a few minutes left here. I didn't know if you wanted to take another caller, or we're going to say...
Define a few minutes.
We got 4 minutes to the hour.
Oh, we can do 4 minutes. Sure.
All right. There we go.
Yeah.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Susan from Colorado.
Hello, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
What's going on?
Well, I've called in twice before, but it's been several months. And in the meanwhile, I took a listening and recording class, which has been helpful.
Oh, good.
I still notice that it's kind of tough because I'm kind of dealing with a chronic illness, or two, actually, and also dealing with loneliness at the same time. And I'm sometimes feeling very just like it's a lot to deal with. It's a lot to deal
mm-hmm.
with.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to you once before a little bit about having to deal with, you know, chronic fatigue syndrome and a new diagnosis of multiple sclerosis, and then dealing with a lot of kind of loneliness and trying to be in a really good place of letting these, you know, negative conditioned thoughts go. And I find it challenging. Yeah, I find it challenging.
Of course you do. No one in their right mind would ever suggest that you wouldn't. Right?
Yeah,
it is challenging. It is challenging. So of course you would find it that way. Yeah.
I feel a lot of sadness coming up right now.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of difficult stuff going on. Yeah. Mhm. And one of the things I think, I don't know, you can see if you think this is true, but one of the ways that ego really is successful with torturing people is to make us believe that it shouldn't be the way it is, whatever it is. It shouldn't be the way it is. It should mm-hmm. be easier. We should be different. Okay.
Yeah.
All of those things that often are not true. And so if you accept that this is difficult, it's hard, it's painful, then how you are with her is very different. But if you listen to voices that try to convince you that it or you should be different, then it's going to be much, much harder and much more painful because you can't make it be different. But you can accept the way it is. And when we accept the way it is, it changes.
So, yeah, just accepting that, okay, yeah, sometimes this is very hard, and sometimes I do feel sadness and pain, and that's part of life. And
yes.
And
yes.
Be
and
very
the,
kind
and, this is
and
a
compassionate.
Very that's right. Yeah.
That part.
This is a very difficult time for you. Very difficult. And so you want to treat her with the kindness that goes with that. Right?
Yeah,
she's
I guess
having
part
a
of
really
me thinks,
hard time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess part of me thinks that then I'm sinking maybe more into the suffering. Sometimes I don't know how to separate that so well. Does that make sense?
Like, yes, it does. Yes, yeah. It does. And if you stay in that compassionate place for the person who is suffering, there's no danger. If you identify with the person who is suffering, then that becomes an ego takeover, and that's when things get really ugly.
How do I know the difference?
You'll know the difference because of the way you feel. It so, for instance, if I am having a really hard time, I have this chronic illness, and then I've gotten another really grisly diagnosis, and I'm having a really hard time. If you come over to be with me, and you are kind and supportive, you listen to me, you find out what I would like to do, you know, what shall we read something? Shall we watch something? Shall we, what shall we do? What shall we do? You know, you are caring and kind and sensitive and supportive. There's no danger to you. But if you start indulging, oh my God, this is so awful. This is so sad. This is my teacher used to talk about. So you have a friend who has the flu and they have a fever of 103, and you go to their house to help them, and there they are in bed, and they've got a cold cough on their head, and they've got a thermometer sticking out of their mouth, and you're so overwhelmed with sympathy for them that you can't take it. You just find you can't even stand up, and so you just kind of begin to push them over in the bed. Right, and then you have to lie down, and so you lie down, and then, gosh, you're really not feeling well, so you put the cloth on your head, and then you need to check your temperature, right? That's over identification. That's making it about ego. Did you track all of that, or was that a bit much?
No, I did track all of that, but when you said, I was thinking, well, if I'm calling it a grisly, horrible illness, like you were just saying, aren't I going into that direction already?
No, because it is.
Because
it is.
Well, that makes me feel really scared.
Well, yeah, because you just identified with ego rather than staying with the person who's there to take care of the person.
So staying with the compassionate person that's like,
that's
yeah,
right.
this is a tough diagnosis,
right.
But we're going to do everything we can to take care of
that's
you
it.
And to be
that's
loving
exactly
with you.
Right.
And
that's
and
exactly right. And I'm going to, and we have no idea how this is going to go. We don't know anything
yeah.
about this, but I'm going to be right here with you. I'm going to be with you every
yeah.
step of the way. Yeah, it's
and
really,
it doesn't mean it's
yeah,
your it, death sentence or that you're going to end up in
all.
A wheelchair or, okay.
Not at all.
I think that's my mind was like, oh my God, if Sherry's calling it a grisly illness, I'm definitely going to end up.
Well, you know, the people are dying of mosquito bites. So, you know, life is a fraught proposition. You know, you could get that diagnosis, and as I'm fond of saying, be hit by a truck long before you even had a symptom.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yes.
So I guess it's just
yes.
more like what we the words that you use aren't really so important. It's what we think about it what we think about when those words are used, like what our mind
starts exactly right.
racing into
That's
what
exactly right.
direction it goes, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yep. And to be aware
and
of
you're
that.
That's right, because somebody in there feels that. Somebody in there thinks that.
Yeah.
And you're there. Yeah. You're there to help yeah. and support her, not to go there. You're
yeah.
going to be the, yeah, you're the conscious, compassionate awareness that's going to support her. All right. Now, I know we're past our time,
yeah.
but you will call me again and let me know how you're doing. Is that correct?
Thank you, Sherry. Yes, I will call again. And I'm going to take I've decided I want to take a reflective and listening teacher, too, to help me on my path.
Oh, good. Oh, very
yeah.
good. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah.
yeah.
Avail yourself of all the support. Stick close to Sangha. It's the best thing we can do.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
So much.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night, Sherry.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. And Sherry, this seemed like the Unconditional Love and Support Show to me.
It does, doesn't it? And you know, I think
mm-hmm.
it's a good idea, don't you? I think
I
we
think
should
it's
go
a
with
wonderful
it.
Idea. I think
yeah.
we should. I'm going to take it up right now.
Me too. Me too. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
All
good
right.
night. Go
good
happy.
Good night. Go happy.